Let us worship God. That is often the solution, isn't it? Just switch it on and off, off and on. That's what happens with a computer, so no different with this. Thank you very much indeed. So, let's begin again. Welcome to you all. It's good to see you. Welcome to visitors, and welcome to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 59, which is Psalm 95. O come, and let us to the Lord in songs our voices raise. Call to prayer also comes from Psalm 95. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let us pray. Living God, you are the maker of heaven and earth, and the giver of life and breath. You have guided your people through wilderness places, and in every generation, your faithfulness has never failed. With gratitude and awe, we lift our voices in praise. As your people, we thank you for your steadfast love, and for mercies new every morning. Gracious God, as we come before you, the rock of our salvation, we are moved to confess our sins. Too often we forget your goodness and wander from your ways. Our hearts grow cold. Our trust diminishes. And we fail to love one another as we should. Merciful God, you did not send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Forgive us. Renew and transform us by your Holy Spirit, and lead us in the everlasting way. Faithful God, like a deer longing for running streams, our souls long for the life that comes from you, the life that rises within us as living water and flows outward to become a blessing to others. As we prepare to gather around your table, nourish our souls, quench our thirst, and let our praise be pleasing in your sight. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Just a few intimations to draw to your attention. Firstly, for the benefit of those joining us through the live stream, as you can see later in the service, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. So you might want to have some bread and cordial or wine prepared in order that you can share in the sacrament. There'll be a further time of fellowship following the service today. Please do join us if you can for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit. A reminder of the Easter Holiday Club that will take place in April from the 13th to the 15th. And in connection with that, there's a meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30 in Park Church. So if anyone thinks they'll be able to go along and help at the Holiday Club, please do go to that meeting tomorrow at 7:30. The Finance and Property Committee will meet on Tuesday at 7, and on Wednesday at 12, Stirling Kurtz Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall. The second in a series of four Lenten studies will take place on Wednesday here in the church at 7 o'clock. And all will be welcome. A reminder of Logie Kirk's coffee morning this coming Saturday in the hall at Causeway Head, beginning at 10 o'clock. Go along if you can. And finally, the Kirk session will meet in the parish halls a week on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I've got something with me today. Now, I don't need to ask you what this is, but I'm going to ask you anyway. A bottle of water. I wonder how many of you have had a drink of water today? Put up your hand if you've had a drink of water today. A lot of you. How many of you would like a drink of water right now? Well, you'll have to wait. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were out working in the garden all day and it was really hot? Or if you'd been walking for miles and miles in the sun? How would you feel if you didn't have a drink of water? Would you feel happy? How would you feel? Any answers? Thirsty. That's the obvious one, isn't it? You would be thirsty. I wonder, would you become grumpy? I don't think anyone in St. Ninian's Old would ever be grumpy. But it is quite possible that if you were really thirsty, yes, you would get a bit grumpy and maybe even tired. In today's Gospel story from the Gospel of St. John, we're told that Jesus had been walking a long distance in the midday sun, and he came to a well, and at the well he was tired and weary. And I think that tells us something important. Though Jesus is the unique Son of God, wholly divine, he is also human, and therefore like us. After spending a lot of time in the sun, he was tired and he was weary. And so he found himself at a well. Back then, it wasn't a case of going to the tap and turning it on. There were no kettles. There were no fridges. You had to go to the well, and often the village well was quite a distance outside the village. So it was quite a task going to that well with your jar or a bucket and filling the jar or bucket and then walking back to the village. Well, not long after Jesus arrived at the well, we're told there was a Samaritan woman appeared. And Jesus spoke to her. He said, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." Now, we might think sitting here, well, that was a natural thing to ask. But actually, there was a centuries-old feud, four centuries, in fact, feud between the Jews and the Samaritans. They just didn't speak to each other. So it was surprising for that reason that Jesus, a Jew, spoke to the woman, a Samaritan, but it was also surprising because at that time, it was uncommon for a man to speak to a woman in public. Can you imagine that? Maybe some women would think that would be bliss. So if you can imagine, the woman was totally taken aback, as one of my friends would say, gobsmacked. She couldn't believe that this man, this Jew, was talking to her. But a conversation ensued. And then Jesus said something to her that surprised her even further. He says, "I can give you living water." Living water. Now, the woman thought, right, living water. Does that mean the type of water that if I was to drink it once, I would never physically become thirsty again? That sounds good. I'll sign up for that. And of course, the advantage, she wouldn't need to be going to the well every day to get water. But of course, that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about something much deeper. Just as we need water to live, our bodies need water to function, so our hearts can often be thirsty. And I wonder, what might our hearts be thirsty for? If I say a word and you agree, give it a thumbs up. Thirsty for forgiveness? Thirsty for hope? Thirsty for acceptance? Thirsty for love? These are the things that Jesus was speaking about. Living water. God's love is like a spring of water within us, constantly flowing, renewing, and giving us life. And the good news, that love, that living water, is not just for some people, it is for all people. Let's remember that. and thank God for it. Amen. We sing the hymn 722 to that lovely tune, The Leaving of Lismore. 722, Spirit of God, come, dwell within me.
The first lesson this morning is taken from Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. On page 58, the Old Testament in the Pew Bible. Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. The whole community of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sin and travelled by stages as the Lord directed. They encamped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. A dispute arose between them and Moses. When they said, "Give us water to drink," Moses said, "Why do you dispute with me? Why do you challenge the Lord?" The people became so thirsty that they raised an outcry against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt for our children and our herds to let us die of thirst?" Moses appealed to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? In a moment they will be stoning me." The Lord answered, "Go forward ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and bring along the staff with which you struck the Nile. Go, you will find me waiting for you there by a rock in Horeb. Strike the rock. Water will pour out of it for the people to drink." Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites had disputed with him and put the Lord to the test with their question, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The reading in the New Testament is from the Gospel of John, verses 1 to 15 and from 27 to 30, and can be found on page 80 of the New Testament. News now reached the Pharisees that Jesus was winning and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was his disciples who were baptizing, not Jesus himself. When Jesus heard this, he left Judea and set out once more for Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria, and on his way to a Samaritan town called Sychar, near the plot of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. It was about noon, and Jesus, tired after his journey, was sitting by the well. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Meanwhile, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The woman said, "What? You are a Jew. Ask for a drink from a Samaritan woman?" Jews do not share drinking vessels with Samaritans. Jesus replied, "If only you knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have no bucket and the well is deep. So where can you get living water? Are you greater than Jacob, our ancestor, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, he and his sons and his cattle too?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never be thirsty. The water that I shall give will be a spring of water within him, welling up and bringing eternal life." "Sir," the woman said, "give me this water, and then I shall not be thirsty, nor have to come all this way to drink water." Verse 27. At that moment, his disciples returned and were astonished to find him talking with a woman, but none of them said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went off to the town, where she said to the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah?" They left the town and made their way towards him. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. "Praise, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart." Hymn 175. Today we gather at the Lord's table. We come as people who are thirsty, whether we know it or not. Thirsty for hope, thirsty for forgiveness, thirsty for reassurance, thirsty for God. We all know what thirst feels like. Perhaps not wilderness in Sinai thirst, but the sort where you wake at 3 a.m. and would give anything for a glass of water and yet resent having to get out of bed in order to fetch it. Or the thirst we experience if we have eaten something like a bacon roll and the bacon was rather salty. In Exodus, the Israelites are deep in the wilderness. They have been delivered from slavery. They have walked through the Red Sea. They are being led by God. But now, at a particular point in the journey, there is no water. Their children are crying. Their livestock are dying. Fear rises within them. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? The demand of Moses. It's remarkable, truly remarkable, how quickly Egypt begins to look attractive again. Finding themselves thirsty, the people forget how bad things were when they were held in captivity. But wilderness can do that to people. It can distort the memory. It exposes anxiety, and it can cause one to doubt. Beneath the people of Israel's complaint lies the real question: is the Lord among us or not? That is the deeper thirst. This microphone's haunting me today. Is the Lord among us or not? That is the deeper thirst. Not just water, but assurance, presence, proof. Is the Lord among us or not? If we're honest, that question is not one asked by the people of Israel alone. We might not put it up on the church notice board, but it slips quietly into hospital wards, into anxious nights, into times when the church feels fragile, war rages, and the future is uncertain. Is the Lord among us or not? And how does God respond in Exodus? Not with thunder, not with a word of rebuke, but with provision. Moses strikes the rock at Horeb, and water flows. Water from the rock. Life from an impossible place. Grace, where none was expected. Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman is the longest recorded conversation in the Gospel that he had with anyone. As we observed earlier, he is weary. And he sits by Jacob's well at noon the hottest part of the day. A woman comes alone to draw water, alone, because her story has left her isolated from her community. And Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." It's a simple request, yet it opens a conversation that changes everything. He speaks of living water, water that becomes in a person, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She has come for ordinary water, water to quench one's thirst, the kind you carry home in a jar or bucket. But Jesus is speaking of something else. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. We know that is true, for we draw water from many wells: success, business, respectability, comfort, status, even religion. But it's nowhere near the same as living water. We are like people who try to quench their thirst with seawater and then wonder why we're still thirsty. My dear friends, Jesus offers something different, not a temporary fix, not a distraction, but life that springs up from within. And then surely comes one of the most beautiful details in the story. After encountering Jesus, after recognizing who he is, the woman leaves her water jar behind. The very thing she came for suddenly seems secondary. And that tells us something important. When you truly meet Christ, some things that once felt essential become surprisingly less so. The woman ran back to the town and said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." Remarkable. The thirsty one becomes a witness. The isolated one becomes an evangelist. The ashamed one becomes the bearer of good news. There is a deep connection between these two stories before us today. In the wilderness, the people grumble and doubt. Yet God provides water from the rock. In Samaria, a woman burdened with shame and rejection meets Jesus and finds living water. Paul the Apostle tells us that the rock in the wilderness was Christ. That mysterious rock struck in the desert becomes a sign pointing forward. On the cross, Christ is struck. From his side flows blood and water. From what looks like defeat comes life. From suffering comes salvation. The rock is struck, and grace pours out. And so today, we come to this table. Bread and wine, small pieces, modest glasses. No one leaves physically full, and yet somehow we leave nourished. It's a simple meal, but it has sustained saints and sinners for centuries. Here at this table, Christ meets us again. Like Israel, we come with doubts and questions, and that's okay. Like the Samaritan woman, we come with complicated stories, and that's okay. Some of us come quietly confident. Some come weary. Some come wondering, if we're honest, is the Lord among us or not? At this table, God answers us, not with an argument, but with his presence. This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Yes, the Lord is among us. Not because our faith is flawless, not because we have never grumbled in the wilderness, not because we have always drawn from the right wells, but because his love is steadfast. And like the woman at the well, we do not simply receive. We are sent, commissioned to go out into the community and into the world. So come today, come thirsty, come uncertain, come hopeful, come just as you are, for the rock has been struck, the water flows, the well is deep. Christ himself is our living water. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing as our communion hymn, hymn 348, to the tune Heifridel, 348. Praise the Lord, the one who breaks the darkness. Dear friends, responses are printed on the reverse of the order of service. If you wish to respond, and it's only if you wish to, please say the words that appear in bold print as we gather here at the table. Come to the table of the Lord, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because you are righteous, but because you seek God's mercy. Come, for Christ is our peace, our living water. St. Paul wrote on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, holy and gracious God. You brought water from the rock in the wilderness and satisfied your people's thirst. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Christ Jesus, who offered living water to all who longed for hope and salvation. Therefore, with all your people and with the whole company of heaven, we praise you in the angels' hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He proclaimed good news to the poor, welcomed the stranger, healed the sick, and revealed your grace to those on the margins. On the cross he bore our sin, by his resurrection he conquered death, and he continues to call us to drink deeply of his life. Gracious God, as we gather at this table, we pray for the peace of the world. Where war is raging, bring reconciliation. Where there is hatred, sow understanding. Where there is injustice, establish your righteousness. O God, remember those who are in need, the lonely and forgotten, the anxious and afraid, the sick in body, mind, or spirit, and all who grieve. Strengthen and sustain them. Refresh them with hope and surround them with your loving presence. Bless your church throughout the world, O God, that it may faithfully proclaim the good news of Christ, the source of living water, and bless each one of us gathered here. Make us bold in witness and generous in service. Almighty God, we give thanks for the communion of saints and those whom we have known and loved and who rest in your nearer presence. We praise you for the unbroken fellowship we have with them and for that spring of living water which wells up within us, giving us eternal life. And now, O God, may it please you to send down your Holy Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of your most dear Son, and that we may become for you his body, loving and caring for the world, until the dawning of the perfect day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." Jesus, Lamb of God. Jesus, bearer of our sins. Jesus, Redeemer of the world. God, eat this, the bread of heaven, drink this, the cup of salvation. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who trust in him.
Thank you.
The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that in this sacrament you assure us of your goodness and love. You have fed us with living bread and refreshed us with the cup of salvation. Send us out now strengthened for service to share the living water of Christ with a thirsty world. In his name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn, hymn 738, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May Christ, the living water, spring up within you to eternal life, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.